Klaus and Sunny sighed, but they nodded in agreement with their sister and settled down to wait for the welding torches to be ready. And as they waited, they felt as if this particular kitchen in the squalor penthouse was being remodeled before their very eyes. When the Baudelaires had searched the apartment to see if Gunther was hiding in it, they had left crumbs in an assortment of bedrooms, living rooms, dining rooms, breakfast rooms, snack rooms, sitting rooms, standing rooms, bathrooms, ballrooms, and kitchens, as well as those rooms that seemed to have no purpose at all. But the one type of room that the squalor penthouse lacked was a waiting room. Waiting rooms, as I'm sure you know, are small rooms with plenty of chairs for waiting, as well as piles of old, dull magazines to read, and some vapid paintings. The word vapid here means usually containing horses in a field or puppies in a basket, while you endure the boredom that doctors and dentists inflict on their patients before bringing them in to poke them and prod them and do all the miserable things that such people are paid to do. It is very rare to have a waiting room in someone's home, because even a home as enormous as the squalor's does not contain a doctor's or dentist's office, and also because waiting rooms are so uninteresting that you would never want one in the place where you live. The Baudelaires had certainly never wished that the squalors had a waiting room in their penthouse, but as they sat and waited for Violet's invention to be ready to use, they felt as if waiting rooms were suddenly in, and Esme had ordered one constructed right there in the kitchen. The kitchen cabinets were not painted with horses in a field, or puppies in a basket, and there were no old, dull magazine articles printed on the bright blue stove. But as the three children waited for the iron objects to turn yellow, and then orange, and then red, as they grew hotter and hotter and hotter, they felt the same itchy nervousness as they did when waiting for a trained medical professional. But at last the fire tongs were white-hot, and were ready for their welding appointment with the thick iron bars of the cage. Violet passed out an oven mitt to each of her siblings, and then put the third one on her own hand to carefully remove each tong from the oven. "Hold them very, very carefully," she said, giving an ersatz welding torch to each of her siblings. "They're hot enough to melt metal, so just imagine what they could do if they touched us. But I'm sure we can manage." "It'll be tougher to go down this time," Klaus said, as he followed his sisters to the front door of the penthouse. He held his fire tong straight up, as if it were a regular torch, instead of a welding one, and he kept his eye on the white-hot part, so that it wouldn't brush up against anything or anybody. "We'll each have to keep one hand free to hold the torch, but I'm sure we can manage."
"Celestin," Sunny said, when the children reached the sliding doors of the ersatz elevator.
She meant something along the lines of, "It'll be terrifying to climb down that horrible passageway again." But after she said Celestin, she added the word
Inippi,
which meant, "But I'm sure we can manage." Baudelaire was as sure as her siblings. The three children stood at the edge of the dark passageway, but they did not pause to gather their courage, as they had done before their first descent into the gaping shaft. Their welding torches were hot, as Violet had said, and going down would be tough, as Klaus had said, and the climb would be terrifying, as Sunny had said. But the siblings looked at one another and knew they could manage. The Quagmire triplets were counting on them, and the Baudelaire orphans were sure that this only hope would work after all.